test was, this sugya actually appears in its full form in two places. So, oh, Yaakov walked in just perfect timing. Perfect, because he knows that I'm going to ask him the question. So you know I told you that the other sugya is the original sugya. I actually gave you that sugya. There's my pen that I just had it. Where did my stuff go? Is it right here? Right here. Okay. And the other sugya is in Kiddushin. Das Samachesam and Aleph. Okay. And what I told you is that that is the original sugya and this is not. That's my opinion. And the question is, why? Adin.
The type of answer we're looking for, but Rabbi Yeshiva's comment of let us yell at the Akiva of the Mom, Margaret Mom Theater of Israel doesn't necessarily make so much sense in the context of the Gemara. If you go over the Gemara in Kedushin, he's dealing specifically with when do you have, when and how is the Mom Theater created?
Okay, so I think that that is true generally in the sense that the Gemara in Kedushin. The Gemara Kiddushin, which I think we'll take the liberty of reading in a little bit, although we still have, did we get to the end of the sugya? We have to do the Tosus, and I don't know which order we're going to do them in. I guess we're going to end up doing this Tosus first, the big one. I'm not sure. Yeah, I guess I gave you the Makaros. So, well, we'll see how things go there. So, we'll read the Gemara Kiddushin. The Gemara Kiddushin is discussing the question of the sugya is, how do you know? Kosha ain lo alav kiddushin, and the question is, how do you know? And the Mishnah qualifies the ezozo, they're arayos, right? The Mishnah said that kol mi she ain lo alav kiddushin, avo yesh lo achem kiddushin, avlad ma'amizir. Eza says ha balachas mikol arayos shebetorah. So the Mishnah is implying two things. One is that there is no tefisas kiddushin by arayos. Two is that the child's a mamzer. And the implication, by the way, is that the child's a mamzer in a sense because there's no tefisas kiddushin. And there would be tefisas kiddushin with other people. The klal, by the way, that you see in the Babli, and we saw in the Yushalmi, that ein lo alav kiddushin meish lo acherim kiddushin is coming right out of this Mishnah. And it's implied by the Mishnah. It's stated by the Mishnah, implied. Well, it's not explicit in the Mishnah, but it's very close, right? In other words, the Mishnah speaks about... Then you see the Mishnah, or you haven't gotten that far? The Mishnah speaks about the reverse. Not an Eved V'Achim HaBal Bas Yisrael, but Yisrael HaBal HaGoya V'Al HaShifcha. So there the Mishnah says, of Lada Kamoa, it's not Jewish. It doesn't talk about the inverse case, but you already see the distinction on some level between Misha Ein Lo Alav... In other words, what creates Mamzeris? Misha Ein Lo Alav Kiddushin Avo Yesh Lo Achirim Kiddushin. So the Mishnah does... If the Mishnah had said about Eved V'Achim HaBal Bas Yisrael, there wouldn't be an extensive sugya in Yevamos, Nachmem Dala, which is the one that you don't have to do if you don't have time on the Maror Makomos, having a machlokas about what the din of the Vlad is there. It would have been the favorite in the Mishnah. But the Gemara wants to know, how do you know that Kiddushin are in Tosin by Chayvei Krasus? And that's what the discussion begins as. And then the Gemara says, according to Rabbi Akiva, so the Gemara wants to know, the Gemara deals with Abaye's exceptions to the rule, and the Gemara wants to know how you know Kiddushin are tosin by Chayvei Lavin. Now, let me ask you a different question. Let me just put this out there, a piece of data for you. In the absence of a pasuk one way or the other, by Isurei Bia, would you say Kiddushin are tosin or not? Mati?
Saying yes.
Really? Why?
Because it doesn't, unless it tells you that Kiddushin is Mechal, you would assume it's Mechal.
But it does tell you're not allowed to, in effect, marry them, right?
So maybe then it would depend on the language. I would think, well, Yikah, maybe it would mean...
You want to make a distinction whether the prohibition was on the Kicha or not. Okay. Yitzi?
I mean, typically Kiddushin is just something that's contracted by two people. Even if you're not supposed to do it, maybe they have the halachic ability to reduce from themselves.
Daniel?
I think that the issue with Bia is that even though you might be able to do the Barasa, or at least the Arison aspect of it, you're not able to consummate the marriage. At least I don't think you are.
No, agree, you're not allowed to, right?
Sure, but I'm saying on a contractual level, don't you require Bia to fully consummate the marriage?
We're going to ask the question. We're not talking Bia, we're talking about Arison only. In other words, when we talk about Kiddushin Tosin, Kiddushin and Arison are the same thing. We're not talking about Nisuan. That's a separate question of Yeshchupa
Lepsulos. One automatically can't lead to the full consummation.
So that's a reason, that's an argument to be made if you can't have Nisuan, especially if you said Ein Chupa Lepsulos, so then maybe the Kiddushin is in the Chal either. A Kiddushin that's not capable of having Nisuan, maybe that shouldn't be. Now, there is a sugi in the beginning of Maseches Tzemura in all places, where there's a machlokas Abai and Rava about the following principle. Kol milsa de amar rachmana lo savid. I ovid mahani or I ovid lo mahani. Tosus quotes it on this one of these Talmudim. So the Gemara has to struggle to find an afgamina. But the machlokas at its core is, if the Torah says not to do something, but you go ahead and do it, is there a chalos or not? Right, the Torah tells you not to go and kill someone, and you go and kill someone, the person is dead. That's not a chalos, that's a fact. But if the Torah tells you not to be mekadesh someone in these circumstances, not to be megarish someone in these circumstances, the question is, if you go ahead, that act is not just it's not a physical act. I can give a woman a ring, and it's not kiddushin. It could be a matana, it could be a pikadon. But it means for that to transact a legal transaction, to make some type of exchange in status, that's the question. Is that when the Torah, by default, what is the default position? I mean, Amar Achmana lo savet, don't do it. E ovid, if you did it, mahani or lo mahani? So one might have thought that would depend upon that question. Moshe, what's your...
Yeah, what about Tzemura?
That's why it's there. So the way this sugya works, it works a lot like there's a sugya, some of you might know, and if you ever learn the second parak of Psachim, there's a machlokas Rabbi Abahu and Chizkiah, the way the Bavli presents it, as to whenever the Torah says don't eat something, does that imply also an Isser Hanah until the Torah tells you beferish that it's mutter, like nevela? Or does it not? Unless the Torah says it's Asser Hanah, it's Asser only Ba'achila. But when the Gemara, when all is said and done, the Gemara has to stand on its head to find an afgamina, because each time we have an issur that everybody knows is mutar bana, and it says lo sochal, so Chizkiah finds a pasuk that tells you, Rabbi Abo finds a pasuk that tells you that it's really mutar bana. You had a pasuk to tell you. In every case, it's asar bana, but it only said lo yochal, so there's a pasuk where there's something for Chizkiah to indicate why it's asar bana. So at the end of the day, the Gemara comes up with some obscure nafgamina of when Rabbi Chizkiah would say it's only sarachila, and Rabbi Abo would say it's only say it's an Isser Hanah. The same thing happens in the sugya in Tzemura. In other words, if you're not allowed to do it, the reason why it's in Tzemura, I said of all places, but you guessed correctly why, it's in Tzemura because you're not allowed to make a Tzemura, but the Torah says if you do it, it's Chal. So the question is that the exception, or is that the paradigm? Right, so that's in effect where the starting point of the discussion, if I'm not mistaken, is. It's like Daftala, Dafhei. So the Gemara at the end has to come up with some, again, rare nafgamina. In other words, it's not most of the dinim they agree upon, because if you hold lo mahani, you have a pasuk that tells you it's mahani here. If you hold mahani, you have a pasuk that tells you, but the din is it's lo mahani, there's a pasuk that tells you lo mahani. Right? So it's a wonderful, I don't know, conceptual difference, which it almost becomes a distinction without a difference. Almost. Now, the Gemara will come up with some, but it's got to struggle to find an nafgamina. Okay, but be that as it may, the Gemara wants to know, how do you know Kiddushin or Tosin? And the answer is they quote a suggested makar. And then someone comes along and says that you can make it a kal v'chomer from Yevam al-Ashuk. Yevam al-Ashuk, let's assume for the moment, it's a machlokas Rav and Shmuel whether Kiddushin are not Tosin or Kiddushin only Tosin misafik. Or it's a safik whether Kiddushin are Tosin. Let's assume Kiddushin are not Tosin. Now, the Isser of Yevam al-Ashuk, I think that was already on my, it certainly was on the second chart that I sent you. I haven't sent you the third version, the most updated Isser of Yevam chart. A colleague of mine told me during a meeting this morning that with his students, you know, he frequently has to take out a chumash. Right? Because if you learn chumash, then you know. Most of these dinim are pretty explicit. So Yevam al-Ashuk is what? What's the nature of the Isser? What is its status?
If she's a Zika.
No. I know. What is the what level chomer is it? What is it? What's the punishment?
It's a lav.
It's a lav. Okay, so we normally say, well, what's the din by chayve lav in the way we hold? Kiddushin? What? Kiddushin or Tofsin. Vlad's not a mamzer.
Right.
Oh, okay. Kiddushin or Tofsin. Yet by Yevam al-Ashuk, either we say for sure not, or we're not sure why, because it says, Lo siya esh sameis achutz lizar. So some want to read, Lo siya lo teheba havaya. There's no tfisas kiddushin. I still don't think we say the child's a mamzer, but there's no tfisas kiddushin. So now the Gemara quotes an Amora here in Kiddushin who says, that Rav Acha Bar Yaakov says you can make a kavachom for yivama. If a yivama lashuk, where it's only nisur lav kiddushin on tosin, so certainly chayvei krisis. Okay, so then the Gemara turns around and says, if that's the case, why don't you make a binyanav from yivama lashuk to all chayvei lavin? And we know we don't. Rabbi Akiva does, but we don't. So then the Gemara quotes a pasuk to demonstrate, to prove that the Torah actually has a category of isur bia where kiddushin are tosin. What is that pasuk? I don't know if you got to it yet. Kisiyena liish shitei nashim ha'achas ahuva ha'achas sinua. So Chazal say v'chiyesh ahuva usnua lefnei makom. What one is, God would recognize the category. The Torah would label a category of ahuva and sinua. Now I know what pshuto shemikra is. Pshuto shemikra is that the husband loves or hates one, and that's why he wants to disinherit the children of the hated wife, even though the eldest, the bechor, belongs to the sinua. But Chazal say Torah doesn't recognize such a category. Just epistemologically, it just doesn't exist. What do you mean ahuva and sinua? Because he doesn't like her. The Torah calls her a sinua. Chas v'shalom. It's usur to hate her. So instead, the Gemara says it's ahuva benisueha and sinua benisueha. In other words, klape shmaya, one of them is beloved in the marriage because it's mutter, and one of them is hated in the marriage because the marriage is one of isser. It's sinua benisueha. Okay, what does that imply? It's kisiyena liish. There's havaya. So you see from that pasuk, that you must have some scenario in which you have havaya, but it's snua benisuel. In other words, it's an iser bia, but kiddushin or tofsin. So from there, the Gemara goes on to have a discussion. It says, "Ula Rabbi Akiva da Amar ein kiddushin tofsin machay velavin." So Rabbi Akiva, where's the case of snua benisuel? Where you would apply kisiena. The Gemara says kisiena b'may mokim. How will they establish a pasuk where it's snua and kisiena, where it's aser but they're married? So first the Gemara suggests be'almana l'kohen gadol harabi simai. D'tanya, Rabbi Simai Omer. Ah, ula Rabbi Yesheva of the Amar bone itzave al hakiv ben Yosef, and quotes the same thing. So hanicha the Rabbi Yesheva v'lafukim Rabbi Simai kasi. Ela itaim idan ashe kamarafi l'chay ve'asev b'may mukim lai. The answer is bebula l'kohen gadol u'mayishna mishum dehavale asei she'en oshava b'kol. The Gemara goes on a little further than that, but that's basically what the Gemara says. That's the part that exists, that several steps that exist in the sugya on Ayin Ches Amud, Samech Ches Amud Aleph in Kiddushin, and our Gemara Dachav Tes Amud Beis, Talam and Amud Aleph. So I asked you a question, which is that construction of a sugya, that mini sugya, it presumably wasn't composed twice. It was composed once, and it was used in two different sugyas. And I'm going to assume for the moment, even though they could have had a common ancestor, that it's original to one sugya and secondary to the other. And I'm telling you that it's original to Kiddushin, and why do I think it's secondary? So Adin already suggests logically, but it doesn't really clinch things. He says, well, that sugya is actually interested in defining the parameters of Tfisas Kiddushin. And what the Gemara is really doing, what is this sugya really about? It's defining Shitas Rabbi Akiva. It's defining Shitas Rabbi Akiva. Okay. But in our sugya, it's also relevant on some level, right? Because the Gemara says that there'll be a nafkamina between Shimon of Nasya and Shimon of Shimon HaTemani in a case where there is a case where there's an iser bia, but there is no, but there's tvisas kiddushin versus no tvisas kiddushin. But there is tvisas kiddushin, and so the Gemara said that only work if you hold that there's mamzerus from chayvei krisos. That in distinction makes sense, but if you hold that there's mamzerus from chayvei lavin, what difference is there between a kiddushin which has no avaya and a kiddushin which is not ruhi l'kaima? There's no tvisas kiddushin. Period. What's the difference? So the Gemara says, according to Rabbi Simoi, Amana l'kohen gadol. But if you hold Amana l'kohen gadol, kiddushin are also not tosin according to Rabbi Akiva. So where would you have, according to Rabbi Akiva, a case where there's tfisas kiddushin, but it's an iser, right? Which is the same thing that the Gemara is seeking out where in kiddushin samach hasam alav. So it's not totally out of place here. Then why do I think that there are at least two markers that make it clear to me that this sugya is secondary and it was just copied for Chazara purposes, I guess. Sometimes the opening sugya of a perek tends to be more elaborate, literarily. Yes, Daniel.
So at the end of shiur yesterday, we were talking about the last part of the sugya, the ulo l'chohen gadol.
Correct.
Knas. That doesn't make any sense to be talking about.
Right. The Rishonim are going to struggle. We'll read Tosos and Rashi and Tosos. Ulo l'chohen gadol ika beinayhu. Right. That if you say that yesh ba havaya, in other words, there is havaya, But there's an Isser. Right? So according to Rabbi Akiva Shita, that there's Mamzer Mechayve Lavin, what's the Nafkamina between Enaruya and Lekaima? What was the Nafkamina between Shimon Menashe and Shimon Taimani? The Nafkamina would be Abu'ula Lekoin Gadol, whether it would be Knas in that case. So now when I formulate the question that way, you say, that's ridiculous. How could anybody say that? Ba'ula Lekoin Gadol, there's no Knas, because if Ba'ula to anyone, there's no Knas. So Rashi gives a Teretz. I'll use that word deliberately. What is Rashi's Teretz? That someone was Ba'alea Shelo Kedarka, and therefore, and she is Asura the Kohen Gadol because of that Bia, she's considered a Ba'ula, but for Mefatah and Oni's purposes, she's not a Ba'ula, and there would be Knas, unless you say, if Ein Aruya L'Kaima, there's no Knas automatically. So, what's the problem that Tosus raises? With that, I'll tell you, is there something not clear about that, Daniel?
Just a more basic point, in terms of a Ba'ula the Kohen Gadol,
I don't want to talk about that now. It's irrelevant. Just accept. It's Gemara and Yavamos. Okay. More importantly, for my next statement I was going to make, is it's a machlokas hatanaim, whether Bia Shelo Kedarka renders her a non ba'ula for a Kohen Gadol. So now Tosus says Akasha, but if that's Rashi's case is correct, why didn't the Gemara then don't, since the Gemara is so into creating Timsa Lomars here, right, more forks on the road and more branches in the tree, why didn't the Gemara say, ha, nicha, if you hold like the Tanaim who say that Ba'ula Shalokadarka Zasur L'Kohen Gadol, I forget, but I think it's Ba'ula Shalokadarka Zasur L'Kohen Gadol, but if you hold, I think like Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Shimon hold that Ba'ula Shalokadarka as Mutaris L'Kohen Gadol, what's the case where there is an Isser, but there is Tvisas Kiddushin? Because Ba'ula Kohen Gadol is no Isser there, because she's not really a Ba'ula for Kohen Gadol purposes. Right? So, Tosus is going to come up with his own, whatever his teretz is, and whatever the kvetch is. But at the end of the day, it's really bizarre. Ba'ula Kohen Gadol? Really strange. Now, to understand why it fits, obviously, why does it fit Kiddushin perfectly? Because remember, the Gemara in Kiddushin and the Gemara here are actually asking two different questions. The Gemara in Kiddushin is asking a pure question of when do we say, what is the case for which Rabbi Akiva would say, Kisiena ha'achas sinua? I want a case for Rabbi Akiva, simple, a case where there's Tfisas Kiddushin, so that it fulfills the obligation of Kisiena, but it's Usur, so it's Snua. That was not the question the Gemara is asking here. The Gemara is looking for the same fact. It's looking for a case where there is Tvisas Kiddushin, but there's an Isser. But it's to fill in a different question. Not Kisiena versus Snua, or Kisiena and Snua together. It's looking to fill in the difference between Rav Shimon HaTeimani, which is Koshi Yesh B'Havaya, and Rav Shimon Ben Menasya, who says, Haruya Lekaima in the Parish of Ones, Velosi Elisha. And in the Parish of Ones, you can't have a Ba'ula. So the answer should never have gotten off the ground here. In Kiddushin, the answer makes perfect sense. Ba'ula L'Kohen Gadol is an Isser Asay She'eno Sheva Bakol. And you like that, Benny. And therefore, it fits the criteria of, let's say a Kohen Gadol married an Amana, had a child from her, had a Bechor. It's Kisiena, Kiddushin or Tosim, because it's an Asay She'eno Sheva Bakol, even for the most extreme formulation of Rabbi Akiva. And yet it's Snu on the Fnei Amakom. No problem. But here you say Ba'ula L'Kohen Gadol. There's no class by Ba'ula. So you got to say, oh, Ba'ula Shalom Kedarka. The reason why the Gemara doesn't ask the Kasha, the answer to Tosa's question is, why doesn't it ask the question, but if you hold, Hanich, if you hold, Ula Shalokadarka, Asur Lekohen Gadol, is because this Gemara was just copied out of Kiddushin. It's not going to go the next step, because the next step doesn't exist in the Sugya, because it's totally irrelevant in Kiddushin. Because in Kiddushin, it's a regular Ba'ula, regular, normal Bia Kedarka, and it fits the Gemara in Kiddushin perfectly. You like that, Mati? Okay, there's another thing which I was being Rami's to yesterday. You have a question on me, or you want to be the fill-in? Go ahead.
In our Gemara, they reconstruct the argument of mitzvah say, meaning they don't have the context to say that we're trying to find a mitzvah say to fit with a chayv say to fit in Rabbi Akiva's shita, which would be good in that, which would be a good kiddushin, but still chayv say, right? But here they have to reconstruct that ikibenahu chayv say mitzvah da adum, right? They don't have the context in kiddushin. They have the context earlier that we're talking about kitiyama. Right,
When they say Kisiana, they say Ul Rabbi Akiva. It starts there. The Ein Kiddushin Tosachad, the Kisiana by Mokin. Starting from about Manu Lekohen Gadol is where our sugya starts as well.
Correct.
Right? But so they say there, Ul Rabbi Yeshevav, Shapir, one second.
They add on Lamed Amid Aleph.
One second. I suspect, you know, I didn't look in the Kisvayad. I suspect that if you look at Kisvayad, there may not be any difference in the series. But I have to, I didn't even notice that. I didn't even notice that. One second.
I mean, why would they need to fill in information if they're not doing it for any reason?
One second. Kolsha, I just want to see the formulation. Havlad Mamzer, my Beinayhu. I suspect that that is just a... one of these two. So either it's not going to be in all the Kisvayat. Sam, have you gotten that far?
No.
Or it's in Kiddushin fell out for some reason. The Gemara belongs there. I'm not sure. I have to relook. There is a discussion that in the sugya it's raised again, which maybe could be another proof. But you first have to check Kisvayat on it. That does not look to me like it was deliberate omission. There is something at the end that maybe, you know, my bet could almost be is that could have been missing completely, and it was just the thought process filled in. In other words, that could have been something one of the Gaonim or Rishonim wrote and worked its way back into the Gemara. That's what it looks like to me.
So you don't think that is a conscious effort on the part of the
end? I have to, you know, I didn't notice that part. I mean, I did not notice. I have to go back and look. I need to look. First, I want to check the Kisvayat, and then I want to see if there is something at the end of the Sugin Kiddushin afterwards, where you going past that, where the issue of Mitzvahs and Adomis is raised. My suspicion is just a manuscript issue,
okay,
and nothing more than that. Shlayan.
So the other thing, and this is that it doesn't make any sense to ask what the difference is. Ask my Benayhu here, because we know Shimon HaTzimai is Rishon Rabbi Akiva.
I purposely in Shir for the last hour today, the half hour today, and the half hour yesterday, I purposely, when we read the Gemara, I very cleverly glossed over, and I said, according to the Shita, that Chayvei Krasus creates Mamzeris. I didn't say who the Shita was, even I know who it is, and you should know who it is. Who's the Tana in the Mishnah who says that Chayvei Krasus is the standard for Mamzeris? Hello? Rav Shimon HaTimani. The whole question doesn't get off the ground here. Rashi and Tosos both struggle with this issue. Right? How can you say... Ula Rabbi Akiva, that Yesh Mamzer Mechayve Lavin, my Benayhu, Rabbi Shimon HaTemani cannot hold like Rabbi Akiva, because he doesn't. Even in Tim Salomar, that the whole question is a bizarre question. Right? And the question is being presented as if both these two, we don't know what these Tanoim hold. Lagabe, what's the standard for Mamzeris? But we know one of them says the standard for Ones, for paying a Knas or not paying a Knas, is if there's no Tvisas Kiddushin. And the other one says if there's no Heter, if it's not Ruya Lekaima. So we say, so that with the assumption, if you hold that Chayvei Krisus, if you hold that Yesh Bahavaya, that the standard for Ein Bahavaya is Chayvei Krisus, so that it's obvious what the nafka meaning between these two days are. According to Shimon HaTemani, he would only eliminate Chayvei Krisus, but Shimon Manasseh, who says any with a kaima, would include even Chayvei Lavin. But if they held like Rabbi Akiva, that the standard for Ein Bahavai is Chayvei Lavin, what's the nafka meaning between them? But they cannot hold like Rabbi Akiva. Because Shimon HaTemani does not hold like Rabbi Akiva. We know that because he's Rabbi Akiva's plukta in the Mishnah Yevamos Daf Mem Tes Amud Aleph. Period. So Rashi and Tosfos, we'll look at it in a moment, both kvetch to try to explain that transition. That only according to Shimon Manasseh, that if he doesn't make any sense in Kiddushin, you don't have such a problem. Because what introduced the question of Kiddushin was a totally different issue. The Gemara there didn't want to know what's the nafka mina between Rishim Manasseh's formulation and Rishim Bar Tantemani's formulation. It said, we have a pasuk, Kisiena Yetznua. I want, if you hold like Rishim Bar Tantemani, that Chayvei Krasus is the standard, so Chayvei Krasus is, we're talking about Chayvei Lavin here, but the Rabbi Akiva, who says that Kiddushin HaTosin by Chayvei Lavin, what is a case of an Isser Bia with Kiddushin HaTosin? So then the Gemara goes, Rabbi Simoi, Rabbi Yeshevav, depends which formulation Rabbi Yeshevav, and gets to Be'ulah Lekohen Gadol. Right. Once you realize that the starting point, the jumping off point of the Gemara was the formulation there, you understand why the language here is so forced. Because this sugya was copied from Kiddushin, but it wasn't designed for Ksubos, and it wasn't really modified to make it fit better, because it wasn't important. They want to hear do Chazara on you, the Chazara and Shitas Rabbi Akiva, once the issue has come up. Right? In other words, the bottom line is for Rabbi Akiva, if he held that there's a knas, there's no knas when there's tfisas kiddushin, but there is an isser, what would such a case be for Rabbi Akiva? But at the end of the day, you don't have to find an afkamina between Rav Shimon HaTemani and Rav Shimon Asya, because we know Rav Shimon HaTemani holds that ein mamzerus mechai ve'lavin. So it's just not a question in the first place. Right? It's that simple. I can force a teretz. We'll explain in a moment how Rashi and Tosfos answer the kasha, because they don't answer the way I answer, but I think if you observe what I just said about the Gemara condition, the question disappears. You don't have to make it fit perfectly, because that wasn't the point of the Gemara. Mati.
There's the question, so why was it copied here?
I think that they wanted...
It couldn't have a change. Now the Rishonim are trying to schlep out answers, and those answers...
Well, that's not the fault of the Misadrim. That's not the fault on the Misadrim.
I'll tell you why.
In the abstract, ignoring Rav Shimon HaTemani's Shita, Rav Shimon HaTemani's formulation and Rav Shimon Asya's formulation set up the question the same way the Gemara does in Kiddushin. In the abstract, not knowing what Shimon HaTemani's Shita is, it sets up the question. It's a suggestion. The suggestion, Shimon HaTemani says the formula, those who are Pater from Knas, those where there is no knas is when kiddushin are on tosin. Rav Shimon Asya says those are no knas is when it's not really kaima. There's an implication that there is a difference between the two of them. The answer is chai ve'lavin. But the Gemara, once it's talking about what is the scenario of, in other words, when is we say kiddushin tosin, and yet it's also when do we say kiddushin at tosin? So the Gemara now says, okay, well, that would be if you hold Chayvei Krisus, the standard view. But what if you held like Rabbi Akiva? Where would there be a difference between Ru'i and Lekaima and Yesh B'Havaya? So it's not really relevant to this brisa, but conceptually speaking, it's relevant to the distinction between those two. So the Masad there, especially of an opening sugi of a perek, puts together a literary creation frequently. And therefore, it's not shocking to find such a thing. But again, on my own, if it weren't for the fact that it's so awkward, and the beginning is awkward, and the ending is awkward. Normally we say kolas chalash kashos, but here it's kolas chalash kashos, and kol sofos kashos. Right? So I think, you ask me, I think it's pashut, that the awkwardness at both beginning and end are a function of the sugya of what we call ha'avara, of having moved the sugya from kiddushin to here without sort of, tying the loose ends up. Because that's the way they copy things. That's the way they do it. Right? You get the point anyway. Yes?
Given that Rashi, does sometimes, amend the text slightly, was this, just going too far for him to make this?
No, quite the... I don't think Rashi envisioned this process quite the same way. I don't think they thought about that question so much. I don't think they thought about the editorial process. Rashi amends the text when he really thinks there's a straight-out error in the text. Here, quite the contrary, he's not going to, because the Sugya and Kiddushin says the same thing. And in fact, one of the best ways we have of fixing the text of the Yerushalmi, since we don't have any other manuscripts, is when you have a Sugya in two places. So what got damaged in one is often still undamaged in the other.
But there is a I don't know if you would call it a mistake, but Rashi here needs to reread Ulul HaKohen Gadol. But he's aware of what it means over there.
I understand.
So that
he doesn't need to reread there.
Parallel in a sense.
Don't ask kashas to me from Rashi. Rashi did not come about it the approach I'm coming about it. I agree to that. I just think that mine is the more elegant solution. And I think it's correct. Right? Now, I think it's fair to say the sugya wasn't composed twice independently. In fact, I'm sure it wasn't, because otherwise they wouldn't have composed it this way here. But again, based upon those questions. That's all. This, by the way, is a piece of what you might call academic Talmud. It's the way, in the academy, that might be all they're interested in. I'm not only interested in this, because now I'm interested in the next question. Someone will say to me, what's the nafkamina? What if this makes a nafkamina l'halacha? I'm going to answer that question now and say, by definition, I don't care what I'm about to say after this. There's no nafkamina halacha because we don't paskin halacha based upon the Gemara alone. Well, we don't paste it based upon layers of the Gemara. We paskin halacha based upon the tradition of interpretation. Let me frame it that way. And thus, it doesn't really matter if I have a different shot in the Gemara, particularly in terms of the editorial process. It's the way that we show and read it and then subsequent authorities and so on, because hilchas kafasari. So the answer is, as a general rule, it has no nafkamina. I'm going to ask the next question is, let's put aside that principle, which is a basic rule of jurisprudence in probably every legal system. There are some justices in the Supreme Court who seem to think otherwise, but I think most legal systems do not. Original intent is actually not the focus, but rather legal systems develop. And you can sort of shoot, to give you a mashal, certain medieval texts were rediscovered after being lost for many years, like the Meiri being one of them. So they quote in the name of the Chazon Ish, I don't know if he actually said it, who said that it has no impact l'alacha because it was hashgacha pratis that it was hidden away. So I never liked that parrot because my question is, well, then what is hashgacha pratis telling us now that it's rediscovered? Now, the truth is, what I think the Chazon Ish probably meant, which is actually very correct, I don't need hashgacha pratis for this, but he would say the following. The legal process is not a process that you can jump around historically. It's a linear process. It develops. And once the law has taken a step in a certain direction over a period of time and developed in a certain way, you can't short-circuit the process and go back in time and say, oh, I want to jump back there. It's just that's not the way legal systems work. If you want to buy hashgacha pratis, which I don't feel is necessary here, hashgacha pratis was that in the process of development, in the course of history, certain Rishonim were never there, were not available to the people making these decisions and ruling and developing the halacha, and therefore they never became part of it, and therefore it's irrelevant what you discover today. It's nice for Lepilpul of Alma or the Talmud or the Shema, but it's irrelevant in terms of being Koveya the halacha. And I believe that is fun, but that's why you can't, as a general rule, just go back and pull out of the mist of the shrouded in the thick mists of the medieval period. I have no Rishonim. I have a Shita now. That's not the way halacha works, and it's not the way legal systems do or should work. So, putting that consideration aside, I want to figure out, would it even matter? Does the fact that the Gemara places the way, does it really have an impact? When you look at the way that we shown them our mitarets, would it change anything? Do they give a teretz? Do they develop a new halacha that they wouldn't have developed otherwise because of the awkwardness of the sugya, and then it should matter? And if not, then it turns out there's no nafkamina anyway. Doesn't make a difference. Yes?
I guess one thing that's bothering me and one thing that I would like to suggest, in terms of the Rambam's text being sometimes amended, I had a professor once who said the reason that it was so against the Heter Mechira is because in his Rambam he had it as a Doraita to do what they're doing, but if we have the original Rambam which says it's really only a Darabonin issue, then that changes it fundamentally, and that's a tradition now that we have going back all the way with this Doraita Rambam, which is not that's not his original intent. I understand that issue. I'm just saying, how should we react to something like that?
So the answer, the answer to that question is, if the Heter Mechira issue had been decided 500 years ago, and it was Muskam Mipi HaKla, all the poskim, and it became practice of Minhag Yisrael, the answer is, yeah, it happened, and well, that's the way it is. That's the luck of the draw, that's the way the ball bounces. But the only reason why I would, and I think poskim, would invoke that as a valid argument today and say you have the wrong text of the Rambam, because the issue was still a live, debated issue. And it still is. Now, even the Tziv is writing 120 years ago, it's still a live issue, right? 130 plus years ago. And therefore, it's an argument I'm willing to pull out and say, you have the wrong Nusach in the Rambam. But if the wrong Nusach in the Rambam had, again, it's the kind of thing I can answer you, I think, reasonably on a case-by-case basis, and I think you'll eventually see sort of a consistent pattern. Moshe?
Yeah, so
and then I'll get you there.
I understand
Sorry.
That it works that way in a legal system, but isn't like halacha more than just a legal system?
Well, we believe that let me answer the question in the following fashion. The halacha functions exactly like a legal system. It has to, because it is a legal system. The difference in our minds between halacha and, let's say, American constitutional law is that we believe the impetus of observing American constitutional law, first and foremost, is as a contract with society and as part of the society, part of a community. Whereas our impetus for observing the laws of the Torah is Kasher Tzivani Hashem Elokai. Now, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a legal system nonetheless. And therefore, the way we observe God's will, the way we follow His will, is by developing our system of halacha to the extent that we are allowed to live within it, you know, and are not answerable to outside authorities. But the mechanics of halacha, fundamentally speaking, are that parallel to any legal system.
Okay, so what it means kasher to
run... Let me give you just a parallel example. Avelus. Now, I mean, Avelus might not mean Doraisa, but to those who say Avelus is Doraisa, right? Avelus bears a lot of resemblance to what we would call anthropology. I say Avelus fulfills many anthropological functions, right? An anthropologist, a secular anthropologist, might study Avelus and point out all the things that various practices of Avelus accomplish on an anthropological level, and he might study the mourning practices of the Maori tribe in New Zealand and observe that in different ways. It fulfills the very same anthropological needs, right? Would I deny that Avelus has an anthropological role? Of course not. What would the difference be? I believe that at its core, even if it's not in its details, it's a tzivui Hashem, that I am supposed to observe Avelus, which might have been given to us l'tovasenu, right? But in terms of the categories, the lens through which I see it, the terms and categories of the secular anthropologist might help at least understand the psychological aspects of Hilchos Avelus. And that's perfectly reasonable. And that doesn't in itself have to undermine the divinity of Torah. Okay?
Okay.
You can now pursue further if you want, but...
Yeah, just like the Kasher Tzivan Elokai, and then we have all these legal mechanisms. Even though there's legal mechanisms along the way, it's still Kasher Tzivan Hashem Elokai.
Yes, because Lo Bashamayim He.
Right.
Right, the Torah gave it over to us, and if you're going to give it to human beings, the Torah said, this is a legal system, this is my Torah, that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you observe my Torah, these are the laws. The Torah Shebichtav is insufficient because that's static, and that's, would be dying if you didn't have Torah Shebaal Peh. Torah Shebaal Peh says you have to develop Torah Shebichtav, right? And how do you develop it? We explicitly prohibit the involvement of Nevuah in the development of Halacha. Certainly Maimonideans and probably even Chazal already. Therefore, all you're left with is human agency. And what categories of legal development are human beings going to use? Human legal systems, right? To apply methodologies and principles, and that is what that's what the Tzivui Hashem is. Daniel?
I know that Albert will argues in regards to the Rambam that he rejects many of the Gaonic traditions. And just years away, and even in the Mishnah Torah itself, when he codifies Jewish law, he rejects those traditions and he establishes his own new interpretations, not on everything, but on in particular cases. And can't you say the same thing with the Amorite, who sometimes, I don't want to say, veer off basic pshat of the Mishnah, but are trying to...
So you're asking a different question. There are many cases where the Amoraim... There's two separate questions here. What are the Amoraim doing, and what are the legal rules that govern your interpretation? Right? The Rambam might argue on the Gonim, because he'll tell you explicitly in the Hakdam and the Shetar you can, but he won't argue on the Gemara. Right? What the Amoraim... You know, the Amoraim live within a system... the way the Kesef Mishnah says, why are Amoraim not allowed to argue on Tanai? If the rule is Hilchos HaKevasrei, and Ein Lecha Shofet El Shabi Amecha, that you go after the base of your generation, why can't Amoraim argue on Tanaim? And what's the answer? Askama, they agree to not do it. So I think that there are many cases with the Amoraim, the rule is you're not allowed to explicitly argue on Tanaim. You're not allowed to be Oker Davarman HaGemara, Oker Davarman HaMishnah. Okay, Akiris Davarman HaMishnah is Bikum Vasei, is not allowed. However, for those of you with the Chabur, I don't know if you heard Roshech to say at the end, Bedavar HaDomeh. So I know you might remember. When did I do that? No, I didn't do it. It was in Yavamos. I did it in another context. Davar Hadome is this idea that the Chachamim can be Oker Davar Minatar B'Kum Vasei if it doesn't look like it's.
It was a Tosfos. It was a Tosfos in the Gemara that we discussed in Yavamos. No,
you were here for Yavamos.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't remember that. Okay. Yes. So correct. You are correct. The beginning of Perek Eish Rabba, that's one of the places in Tosfos where Tosfos says that even though the Chacham can't be Oker Davar Minatar B'Kum Vasei, if it looks like it, if they can sort of do sleight of hand and make it look like it's not Akiras Davar Minatar, then that's okay. Even though it's B'Kum Vasei. That's how Tosfos explains the Heter Vedecha Be'Aguna. Some Rishonim say, the Gemara says that the Gemara says something. It says something about Chazakos, that Chazaka Isha Daiko Mitzvah, Umishum Iguna Akilu Barabanon. So the question is, what kind of an answer is that? If it's Isha Isha Doraisa, how do the Chacham allow it to remarry? So some Rishonim say that really Midoraisa it's okay, because between the Erecha and the Chazaka, there is an Umtana Demuchach that the husband is dead. But Tosfos says, no, not true. Tosu says it's Akira Stavim Minat Torah, but it's B'davar Adoma, because it kind of looks like it should be okay. Therefore, the Chacham can say hocus pocus, and Tosu has this in many places in Shas, this idea of a kibush stav mina Torah b'dover hadome. So you could. So one, I would say the same thing here. I think the Amoraim, their convention to not argue on the Tanaim was only not to be oker dover b'feirush, but b'dome that would be okay. So if you want to be mechat, you want to say the Mishnah's chasuri mechasra, right? If you want to say, you know, you want to, you know, give some interpretation ukimta in the Mishnah to limit it to a certain case, that's okay. You just can't black and white. If you're straight up against the Mishnah, you lose. That was the agreement. If you can find another Tana, that's okay too. Right? So I do think, but I don't think that's relevant. That's an issue of what are the rules of legal engagement. That's a separate question.
What if we have new information that espouses that previously held notions and interpretations are wrong, not because they were less smart than us, but simply because they didn't have documents in front of them?
Well, but again, if you're very few things, there are things, but I would say Ruba of the Dinim and the Gemara are not based upon on facts that are subject to change. Right? In other words, someone was asking me earlier the question during lunch about what about the fact that I think it's pretty clear medically that if a girl, you know, loses her basulin before the age of 3 a day, you know, which is not halachically bias, it's not halachically bia, so we consider she's a basula, right? That's what the Gemara says, right? And the Gemara Sanhedrin goes so far as to say that if she became 3 years in a day and then based and went ahead and decided to be ma'aber the shana, and now she becomes a month younger in that sense, then the basulin will grow back. If they weren't ma'aber the shana, then the basulin won't grow back. It's the Gemara Sanhedrin says befeirush in the first parak. What does it matter? Because whatever they say by Ibor definitionally, not because they're right scientifically, is by definition, is atem afilu mezid and atem afilu shogun atem afilu mutad. That the one thing that's clear, normally we say that when Chazal make, if the Sanhedrin makes a mistake, when they realize they made a mistake, they undo it, it was a mistake. Except for the calendar, there's no mistake by definition. Whatever they say goes, even if it's astronomically wrong. Okay. Anyway, the point is that what will we say today? So that's a case you could ask the question, and I can answer. I deal with the question. Those questions are actually rare. Scientific errors of Chazal are not uncommon. Their science was contemporary science. But when you're dealing with a case where halacha at its core is predicated upon, so let me give you an example where halacha depends upon it, but it's not earth-shattering. They would have said that certain diseases were dangerous to life and certain things weren't dangerous to life. They would have said that you're mechalel Shabbos for category A and you're not mechalel Shabbos for category B. We might decide today that some things they thought were dangerous are not dangerous at all, and we wouldn't be mechalel Shabbos for that. And there's some things they didn't know or didn't think were dangerous that we would say are definitely dangerous, and we would be mechalel Shabbos. The halacha fundamentally is the same. When there's danger to life, you're mechalel Shabbos.
The categories are the same.
Correct, it's just a specific application. So the problem here is that there is no such thing as basulim. I don't want to say never. We have to check the Metzius on this. But the pastor says once the basulim are broken under normal circumstances, they don't grow back. Now, how do I deal with the specific? How did I answer the question here when Yaakov asked me the question? So I said that, firstly, the gabe halacha, the din is that before 3 years and a day, there's no bia. And how do I know that? Because for a boy, it's before 9 years and a day. There are boys younger than 9 years and a day who may be physically capable of performing an act of bia. And nonetheless, and Chazal would have known that, could have known that. Nonetheless, it's just not called bia. You know, it would be no different than if he took his finger. Right? It's the same thing. He could make it most of mukaseitz to the woman, but it's not bia halachically. So the same thing, even if Chazal, even there's a reason given that before three, the psalm, it's clear the din is, you have to set a shear before which it's just not considered, she's not even enough of a woman to be considered bia. Okay, just like for a boy.
Even if the reason that the Gemara gives as to why she is because the reason why she's still a basula, even though she has sex before the age of 3 years,
it's because the basula will grow back.
Grow back, even if that science is wrong.
So I would say the following: she has the halachic din of a basula, but we might say she's a mukaseitz. Mm-hmm. Right? In other words, let's say she lost her basula not through an act of bia. Is she still a basula? Sure, she's a basula, but she's a mukaseitz. What does that mean, la halacha? So, fortunately for us, it's a simple question. Where does Mukaseitz marry the halacha? There's no din of knas by Onei Semifata. Guess what? We don't have a base in the Smuchim, so you can't be Gova Knasis anymore. A Kohen Gadol, maybe, can't marry Mukaseitz. Guess what? Dovi's not here, but he's not a Kohen Gadol, okay? We have no Kohen Gadol. What's the other nafkamina? How much she gets in the Ksuba? It's a machlokas in the Mishnah, in the first paragraph of Ksubas, whether she gets Man or Masayim. You know what? Whatever the Chassan and Kala agree to, it's just not a big deal. Right, so the point is, that's why I say you handle it on a sort of case by case basis. But that's a more difficult kind of question. Where there, again, it's not clear: is the halacha really part of, or is the core halacha that it's not called bia really based upon the metzias or not? And in that case, I actually genuinely think it's not. So again, I know you would love this beautiful klal, but first you gather all the kasha, you go through shas, You gather every single question from me, and then I'll sit down and I'll come up with answers and we'll develop a pattern. But until such time, I think I can sort of, a certain sense of principles that I can work through it with. Zach?
Especially on the Besulim Chosrim issue, if the idea that the Besulim is Chosrim, then would you say that maybe she could be a, like, if, let's say she was raped twice under the age of three, would you call that a
I would be forced to struggle with that question because of Mukas Eitz, right? Well, no, of course there's no Knas.
I wasn't asking about Knas necessarily,
but is that Bia? No, it's not Bia. It's not Bia the first time, it's not the second time, not the third time. There's no Shail of Knas because he didn't have Bia. There would be Nesek, Tsar, Boshas.
He doesn't say there's no Bia. He says that there's no Bia by a male, that's true. But it doesn't say that there's no Bia.
No. If a Gadol, this is Mishnayis, if a Gadol has Bia with a girl after the age of 3 years and a day who's married off by her father, she's Ptura because she's a Ketana. He's Chayiv Misa. If he has Bia with this girl whose father was Mekadisha the day she was born, if he has Bia before the age of 3 years in a day, he's not Chayiv Misa at all. Because it's not Bia. Now that, I'm sorry, that's a given, that there is halachic, that's a given as a Dabar Pashur. There is no Bia halachically for a boy before the age of 9 and a girl before the age of 3. That's a given. The reason that's given, there's no reason given by a boy, per se, the reason given by a girl would be, there's another assumption. I don't know if that's the reason that's given for it, but that the Besulim do grow back. So that might not be true. If I really wanted to be super firm, I would say Nishtanu Atvaim. It used to be they grew back, but they don't grow back anymore. So now we're going to listen. Okay.
When you say Bia, are you including Onus as well?
Yeah. Makes no difference. There is no, halachically speaking, and what we would describe as a physical act of intercourse, a vaginal intercourse, or for that matter, when you matter. And by the way, that would be the proof, by the way, it's not just about Besulim. Bia Shalok Kedarka is also not Bia by a girl younger than the age of 3 years and a day. Right? And there's no Shail of Besulim there.
What's the point of giving that reason?
I don't know for sure if the Gemara gives that as the reason why it's not Bia. The Gemara also assumes that for the purposes of Metzias that she'll be a Besula. You write Erek Suba like in our Mishnah. You assume that she was physically a Besula, not Mukaseit and so on. That's why it matters, but not for the din itself.
That would be an issue for Pesach Besua, wouldn't it?
Correct.
It's not true. How can they say this to them? It's not true.
But they thought it was. That's all. So how we deal with Halacha is a separate question. That's all. We'll deal.
So if an adult rapes a girl who's 3 years old...
Younger than 3 years old? Older or younger?
Younger.
So you might probably pay Nezek, you would pay Tsa'ar, you would pay Boshes, but you wouldn't pay, even if there were a Sanhedrin Haggadah, you wouldn't pay Knas. It might be a case of Beis Din would stone you, Amak and Vonch and Shalom and Adin, but that's a separate issue. Okay, but the bottom line is you wouldn't pay Knas because Bia didn't take place. It would be no different if you beat her on her back and wounded her and damaged her and embarrassed her.
And you said that he also does not get Mita?
Correct. If she were an Eishes Ish because her father was Mekabel Kedushin for her, there's no Mises based in for Eishes Ish.
Why would he pay Nezek if she's still a
Besula? Well, because he's probably physically injured. Well, assuming if he didn't physically injure her at all, no, he would just pay Tsar and Boshas. If he physically injured her, which often happens in the case of rape, right, so then he'd have to pay that damage.
Is a mafata for a girl under the age of 3 considered, is there such category as mafata, or is it only onus?
Let's not get into that question even, but, you know, that's a Mitzvah's question. But, okay. Yitzi? I think I'm going to give you you're going to get a pack. You get like 3 questions a day, so you're going to use them wisely, okay?
So I guess to parse out one of my questions, could
you already used two.
could the Nafkamina come back and be, be a Gedarka and Knas?
The Nafkamina of what?
The Nafkamina of Bula Kohen Gadol at the very end of the Sugya.
Let me sketch out a couple of things. In other words, look, here's the story. When I say, well, how do you read the sugi at the end, it's going to be through the eyes of the Rishonim. Because I'm going to suggest that if you don't want to read through the eyes of the Rishonim, you don't even have a question. So the Rishonim argue things based upon the way the Gemara is presented that then would be different if it weren't for this awkward Gemara. So firstly, Rashi's comment about a Be'ula Shelo Kedarka is Asura L'Kohen Gadol, but is eligible for Knas. So was Asura L'Kohen Gadol is a Machlokas. Rashi's saying, according to the Mandamar. That doesn't, and this is not a Psak Halacha, it's just a possibility. Right? So Rashi doesn't create an Afkaminas. Tosfos, we'll have to see what Tosfos says, but you have to say it in one of the, if we show them to make a comment based upon the Gemara, they want to learn something, then would it matter, right? The beginning part certainly has no Nafkamina. Right, the beginning part is purely exegetical. How do you fit the words of the Gemara? Because after all, what do you mean? Hanicha isavar hanicha if Shimon HaTemani holds like Shimon HaTemani. But if you held like Rabbi Akiva, what would you say? It's a purely exegetical issue. Whereas at the end, the question is, are they going to come up with a case of Be'ula L'Kohen Gadol where there's Knas, where we just said, of course there's no Knas. So I don't know. I suspect that you're not going to come up. When we get to Tosfos, if you remember, when we get to our Tosfos, there you'll take a look and tell me if you think that really now we have an afkamina that the Rishonim wouldn't have said what they said were it not for the awkwardness in this Gemara.
Is there somewhere where the Gemara comments that someone who's a bula shalokadarka has a knas?
That's assumed. That's assumed. We saw a midrashi halacha like that, right? If multiple people were ba leha, the last one is chayiv in knas. They're all chayiv in knas, actually. In other words, it's bia, but she's still a basula until she has bia kadarka. Okay. Fine. So the bottom line is, this particular, my analysis here, which I think explains nicely the problems in the Gemara, wouldn't, even if you thought that you paskin halacha based upon the shikulim, actually would produce no nafkamina. The more common case that you're going to come up with something is if you were to assert that the Amoraim interpreted the earlier, or the Gemara interpreted the Amoraim in a fashion where they meant something different. How would you know that? Either you were, sufficiently, I say this tongue-in-cheek only, arrogant to assume that you could tell better, or you had a Yerushalmi. You had other sources. You had a parallel sugi in the Bavli, which he was interpreted differently. So, to some extent, and this goes back to Daniel's question before about the Amoraim and the Tanaim, I would make the following argument. The Stam of the Gemara sometimes interprets the Amoraim, different Amoraim, in a manner which was not their original intent. In the academic world, you'll often hear people say, misunderstood what the Amora meant. Now, I am fully cognizant that it is possible that the Stam of the Gemara misunderstood what the Amora said, but I believe as a matter of principle and quote chachamim that in the base medrash we don't talk that way. I know it's possible. We don't, as a general rule, talk that way. We would say understood differently or reinterpreted. Now, I mentioned the last one because just as I think the Amoraim may have sometimes chosen consciously to reinterpret the Tanaim and it didn't violate the rules, there's no rules about the Masadrei HaShas and Amoraim. They belong to the same tekufa and effect, and they may have chosen because they thought a different approach was more correct, but they used the platform of the Amoraim to build off of. And I think that I say that not out of reverence and not out of piety, but I think it's genuinely true. I think there may be cases where the Gemara knows that the Pshat and the Amora was different, but they choose to push it in a different direction. And we paskin like the Bavli, not like the Amoraim, but like the Chasimas Hashas. But those are the cases in theory you're more likely to find a situation where if you argue that the Tanaim or the Amoraim could have been understood differently, and then which should we follow halacha? And the answer is, I still believe we follow the Bavli. That's the Bavli. The most authoritative poskim in our world are the Chosmei Hashas. Right? You can argue in theory on Rishonim and certainly on Achronim if you know enough and you do your homework, and you have enough and you feel you have broad enough shoulders, but you can't argue in the Chosmei Bavli. What the Chosmei Bavli rule in terms of halacha as their conclusion, if you can tell, sometimes you can't tell, but if you can tell, is by definition correct halachically. Yes, David.
I'm just curious, when you're saying like the stuff is misinterpreted in the lie. Understood
differently than original intent.
I'm curious now, when we talk about, let's say, the academic world's view of like the Gemara and how we're interpreting these Gemaras in an academic sense versus the Rishonim, why didn't the Rishonim read it that way? Did they have some sort of reason to not interpret it that way?
So,
look at things as like original.
Virtually every methodology, excluding the one that I just used, as a matter of principle, is employed by some Rishonim in one place or another. The Baalei HaTosfos were very well aware of the issues of direct citation versus indirect citation, whether he really said it. The Baalei HaTosfos are aware of the composition, a literary composition and context. I'll give you an example of what I just did in the mouths of the Baalei HaTosfos. The Baalei HaTosfos want to know at the beginning of the seventh parak, of Bava Kama, Parak Meruba. So the Baalei HaTosfos there are talking about the question whether Ein Bein is comprehensive. And the Mishnah in Megillah in the first parak states that Ein Bein Nedarim LeNedavos Elasha Nedarim Chai Bachriyusan and Nedavos Einu Chai Bachriyusan. If you say Hare Zeh, you're not chayiv to bring another carbon if the animal drops dead. If you say Hare Alai, it's a personal obligation, you're obligated to do so. No, it's personal obligation right. Versus versus just I mean, it's not chefetz gavra; it's something
isn't
else.
Isn't it nedarim? I'm sorry.
It's not the same thing as neder and shvuah. There's a similarity, but if you actually analyze carefully, it's not. Okay. You don't get points for saying chefetz and gavra in the shir unless it's right. Okay, Tosfos in it's the first Tosfos. It's the first Tosfos in Perek Merubah. So Tosfos asked the question, and then he makes it, he asks that there's another nafkamina between a neder and a dava. If you have, you want to take a neder, once you take a neder, and now you have to designate an animal, you are not allowed to use maser sheni. If any of you doing dafyomi, Chaim, we just encountered this, the question of bringing chobos mina meiser. If I want to take my meiser money and I want to bring a carbon from it, in Yerushalayim, a carbon shlamim, I'm allowed to do my meiser sheni money, not meiser ksafim. Meiser sheni money, I can bring a carbon from it, right? Even though parts are burned on the mizbeach, that's okay. That's a nice mitzvah to do with it. But if I have an obligation already to bring a carbon based upon a previous obligation, a chatas, an asham, a neder or something, a neder for a shlamim, I'm not allowed to use meiser sheni money because a chova cannot be brought from something that's already meiser. It has to be ba min hachulin. It has to be misas nidvas yad chasher titein. Mas is a lashon chulin. That's what the Gemara in Chagiga says. They just did it in daf yesterday or the day before. So Tosfos says there's an afgamina between the darman and davas. Hare alai reze. Can you bring the carbon in a maser? When you say hare zeh, you can designate a behema that's already maser sheni, that's already been as a nidava. You can't say hare alai and then take a maser money and buy an animal with it. So Tosfos says, why didn't they quote this, why did the Mishnah say Ein Bein Nedarim LeNedavos and only limit itself to that? So Tosfos first gives one type of an answer, that the Ein Bein is only listing certain kinds of differences. But then Tosfos quotes a second answer. Tosfos says, you know that the original place that Mishnah of Ein Bein Nedarim LeNedavos was taught was in the Masechta that most of you probably have not learned. It's called Maseches Kinim. It's at the end of Seder Kachim. It's a little three-parak Masechta, which might be the most difficult Masechta in Shas. Mathematicians have a lot of fun with it. It's about pairs of birds. And Tosfos says, by a bird, since a bird is going, you can only volunteer an ola bird, there's no other kind of a carbon that comes in ola, and you're not allowed to bring ola min hamaser because it's completely consumed. You have to eat. Therefore, in the original context in which the Ein Bein was formulated, the only nafkamina was chayabach reyusin or not. Now when you take it out of its context there and you put it into Maseches Megillah, then you're left with the question, hey, there are other nafkaminas between Nedarim. Yes. If you're thinking Nedarim and Nedavos globally, animals of all kinds, yes, there's another nafkamina. But if you know the original context of the statement, then you realize why Ein Bein ela Nedarim chayabach reyusin and Nedavos ein chayabach reyusin. The methodology of, again, all of these methodology which you haven't seen yet, we haven't encountered yet, of splitting apart what the Amora said versus the reason given, which may be part of his words, is something that Tosfos does in numerous places. In Maseches Shabbos, there's a whole bunch of places.
Other Rishonim?
What?
Other Rishonim do this.
The there are other Rishonim, I think, who do it. But I only need, for my purposes, if I can show you the Balei Tosfos, I hang in very good company. Now,
why don't they do it sometimes?
So I would say that it's not... It's not the, you know, that it's not their preferred method, but sometimes they, and I will point out to you, by the way, the Balei Tosfos, when they are aware of layered Gemara, they are aware even when they don't use it. In other words, they read it, you know, even when they could have glossed over, they're aware of it. They don't always talk about it. So again, they had their own methodology that the Balei Tosfos develops, the Balei Tosfos, which is a particular shita which moves away from this type of approach, comparative sugya, or a machlokas hasugyas approach, if I'll call it that way. But I think that I'm not, you know what I do most of the time, but I'm aware of these things because sometimes, especially in an exegetical context like this where you have very dachok, very forced interpretations, I think this is a more elegant solution. That's all.
But I'm saying, what would be the choice between different methodologies? Meaning, why choose this over that?
It's a little bit like it's a little bit like art.
Okay.
Right? It's an art, not a science.
I thought academic Talmud was a scientific.
Okay, but we're not academic Talmud. We're not academic Talmudists in Shir. We are B'nai Beis Medrash learning, but we are very happy to welcome fit tools that are useful from other contexts. Let's remember where our roots are and where we branch out to. That's all. Okay, fine. All right. So anybody want to argue with me? Usually when I say that, it means I've opened up the door and I've presented weaknesses, but I actually think this is correct. I think that the original sugya is in Kiddushin, and the Misadre HaSugya took it from there and placed it here. In fact, I would make the following up. Let me tell you another thing about something that can be observed sort of empirically. Where does the discussion of the Amoraim on this Mishnah really begin? It really begins... I believe it begins on the bottom of Lamed Aleph Amud Beis. That's, by the way, after the... one of the ways you can tell, there are two reasons you can tell. One of the ways you can tell is that when you look in the Yerushalmi, after the Yerushalmi goes through commenting just on the vocabulary, what's a kutis, what's a nesina, this is where the Yerushalmi starts. That's where the discussion begins. It's the sugya of kamlei b'drabine of potential malchus. Right? An extensive, complicated sugya. When you look at, even before you go further in the Bavli, when you look at our sugya here, the sugya is essentially almost entirely anonymous. It's entirely anonymous. There's only one part of this sugya, only one little piece, which appears in the Yerushalmi, by the way, but that's it. There's only one little piece that sort of is not. And that's just Reish Lakish and Rapapa. But other than that, the entire discussion, piece after piece, essentially, they quote earlier Tanam Arayim, but the framework is all the stum of the Gemara. It's generated by the anonymous Gemara's questions. This is really a sugyat peticha. It's an opening sugya to the perek. Normally, the sugya that Amoraim start, whether they comment directly on the Mishnah, which is going to be the discussion of Abba, Chosav, Chosav, Chosimo, and so on and so forth, which really is relevant to Mamzer and Asin as well. You should get Malkos. Why do you pay Mamon? Right? So that's going to be three remach locus Amoraim. How to deal with that question of Kalmei Rabbi Minei. But fundamentally, this part of the parak is sort of an introductory stamma de Gemara. There, the stamma de Gemara may help pull things together, but really is what the Amoraim were discussing about the Mishnah. If you think about this, right, this is really not about the Mishnah. The sugya we just did. Why? Because the Mishnah assumes you pay kanas in all those cases. This entire discussion is predicated on a shita that exists outside of the Mishnah. And it's not generated by Amoraim. It's generated by the Gemara. So that is one more reason to think that it's a later layer, it's the work of the Misadre HaPerek, the Misadre HaShas, rather than sort of the natural outgrowth of anything on the Mishnah.
What other places do this?
Beginnings of Mesechtes are even more pronounced in this regard. Look at the first sugya in Pesachim, about Or Larba Osar. And it's a very beautifully, literarily constructed sugya with a kind of neat balance, seven rayas on one side, seven rayas the other side, of or being night or day, and so on, and with no nafkamina lahalacha. It's classic of that. This has been written about in the scholarly literature. Beginning of Perek Ha'isha Rabba may also experience this. There may be, again, when you get questions and answers that don't really work and the Gemara rejects them out of hand and you get a very nice structure, you start to one. And I will tell you, some cases, by the way, the introductory sugya actually pulls the pieces together from the rest of the parak because it's composed last. I'm trying to remember, there's one very good example of that. I don't think it's Aisha Rabbah, where it looks like, I think the first parak in Yevamos may do a lot of that, actually. The opening sugya there, actually may do a lot of pulling together other pieces from later in the parak, if I'm not mistaken. Okay, anyway. Fine. Let's tie two loose ends up for the moment. One is the Rabbi Akiva part. So Rashi writes, Zach, can I ask you to read?
Sure.
Rashi writes, "My Benayu." Well, the Rabbi Akiva the Omar in Kiddushin Tosa Machayvi Lavin. Rashi refers you to the sheet of Rabbi Akiva. My Benayu. So Rashi says immediately, Mishum. So Rashi realizes my Benayu is bizarre because it can't be Benayu of. Rabbi Shimon Asi, Rabbi Shimon Taimani, and to say, but if they hold like Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Shimon Taimani doesn't hold like Rabbi Akiva. So Rashi says that the question is really, according to Rabbi Shimon Taimani, we're asking only according to Shimon Asi. Right, what would the if he held like Rabbi Akiva, what would the difference be between his formulation and Shimon Taimani's formulation? Right, if he held like Rabbi Akiva, there would be a huge, and even if he agreed with Shimon Taimani formulation, there would be a huge nafkamina between him and Shimon Taimani. What would the nafkamina be? Whether you pay knas by Chayvei Lavin. Since Kiddushin aren't Tofsin, even before you get to the question of Ruin Lekayim or not. So that's why we're being sort of forced to twist. If from Shimon Asya, what would the difference be, according to Shimon Asya, between his formulation and Shimon Taimani's formulation, if he held like Rabbi Akiva? If my grandmother were a bus, would she have baby carriage? Would she have wheels or something like that, right? If.
I don't know if somebody already asked this question, but how do we know that Menasya doesn't hold like Rabbi Akiva in regard to Monzeros?
We don't know what he holds. The only thing we know, you know what we know about Shimon Asya and Mamzeris? Metzger, what do we know about Shimon Asya and Mamzeris? Are you up to date on the daf? It might be today's daf. It's a famous Mishnah about Muvas lo yuchal liskom, the pasuk in Koheles. So the one Tana says this is a person whose baal. First, the Mishnah says if avar harega v'lo chag, if the whole Yom Tov passed and you didn't bring your karbanos chagiga ria al zenemar muvas lo yuchal liskom. Then they quote a shita that says that ezim muvas lo yuchal liskom is a baal achz merayis v'holim mamzer because you can't erase that. And then Shimon Nasi, I think, is the one who says that no ein muvas ella something that was mesukan originally. And I think he says that it was a talmud chacham who went off the derech or something like that. What was the? I can't even remember what it was. So all that we know is that he didn't want to interpret the pasuk in Koheles as a reference to Mamzerus. The Mishnah is, you might be in trouble. What's today's daf yud? You'll be lucky. It's the daf yud amin aleph? No, it's not. Sorry. It's daf tes amin aleph. Okay, fine. He is the Mamzer guy. It's in the Gemara. Somebody must ask this question. Hold on. So neither one holds like Rabbi Akiva. Somebody must ask that question. I bet you if you look in the Shita Mekubetes, or one of the other Rishonim, they ask that question. Does he? I like that, no? Neither one holds like Rabbi Akiva. Makes the problem even worse. If he held like Rabbi Akiva, that is if my grandmother had wheels. That's what it is. We know Rabbi Shimon Taimani doesn't hold that way. We know Shimon Nasi doesn't hold that way.
Is that literally Erva? Like, is it? Could that be?
Wait, couldn't Rabbi Akiva hold like one of them in this aspect?
What?
But
wait, does he have a discussion amongst two maybe contemporaries of Rabbi Akiva about an issue? Neither of them hold like Rabbi Akiva. So you want to say, if Rabbi Akiva wanted to imagine their discussion they were having, what were the difference between the two? Right.
That's crazy.
Doesn't
Tosafot say that it's kind of because Rabbi Shimon Asiya is a Talmud of Rabbi Akiva that we're really asking this?
Where does he say?
This is
the
answer there. But
I saw the
Tosus. If we knew it as a pasuk, then it's not even like valid, DJ.
But again, clearly he doesn't hold like his Rebbe.
Right, so.
He's there and wants to explain why you don't have to ask every kasha. They ask specifically Shimon Ben Asya, fine.
But that's also the answer to why we care about
Rabbi Akiva. No, I understand that, but the point is, if he holds like Rabbi Akiva, what would he say? But he doesn't, so what does it matter? Since he did it and he formulated the way he did, you understand why. He agrees with Shimon Taimani that Mamzeris comes from Chayvei Krisus, and now, but he says that it's not only Ein Bavai, it's also in Ari Lekaima. In other words, we know exactly what Rabbi Shimon HaTemani and Rabbi Shimon Asi agree on what makes Mamzeris. And they're arguing whether or not that's the only thing there's no Knas or even in a Rilakaima.
That's not Isn't that the pashas? I mean, like, no one's actually considering that, like, that Rabbi Akiva is like a dais yachid.
Not so pashut. The reason it's not so pashut is because there are some stam mishnayos that assume like Rabbi Akiva. There are stam mishnayos that assume that way. Tosus in Kiddushin on the Mishnah, you're supposed to look at daf samach vavam abeis. Tosus, that Mishnah clearly paskins against Rabbi Akiva. That's a stam Mishnah against this. The Tosus says, but we have another stam in Yavamos that holds like Rabbi Akiva, and there may be more than one stam. So Tosus says, I think because it's by the klalim, because the Mishnah is setting out to present the rules, where the other Mishnahs are just derech agav, they're just working with the assumption. Here the Mishnah is laying out rules, and therefore that's the psak halacha. But really, it's not such a fresh Rabbi Akiva, it's not so fresh that the Gemara in 10 places in Shas feels the need to bring it in. But otherwise, so in Kedushin it made perfect sense. Here, Rosh Shiva Temani and Rosh Shiva Nasya, which I forgot. Someone in the Shita Bukubatsas must talk about this question.
I didn't notice. I looked through it.
You read through the entire thing?
Well, I mean, on the daf.
The question is so obvious, no? On Rashi and Tosos, how could they say what they said? Rosh Shiva Nasya doesn't hold that way. Right? Unless you say that the Mishnah Chagiga was Lav Dafka.
Is that a Mishnah?
It's a Mishnah. Mishnah on daf Tesam and Aleph.
I mean, how are we going to define?
Erva, we know. Nobody, Rabbi Kiva doesn't say that all these three are arayos.
Okay.
Right? Isha al kosh erva saro lo sikravu legalos erva.
Could those be two separate things?
What?
Someone who's baal on erva and someone who is holy mamzer?
No, because his whole point is it's not fixable. If you were baal erva but you weren't molded anything, so. Unless she was an Ashes Ish and you asked her halabaila, or she, you know, even Ashes Kohen, you ma'ani sir to do that, it's fixable. You do tshuva and there's no residual damage. Okay, so I feel even better about claiming that this is a little bit, that the Gemara here has borrowed. Okay, so anyway, so let's just take a quick look at Tosvos. It says the same thing as Rashi. Really more the same thing as Rashi. Sometimes he does, without quoting it. Sometimes, I mean, I know nothing about manuscripts, maybe the Peirush HaKuntras fell out of Tosfos. I don't know. I think it's the same thing as Rashi says. You can read it, but I think it's the same thing. Let's not take a quick look. Let's stop here. Tomorrow, we will read, you should prepare Rashi and Tosfos on Ika Beinayu B'ula Kohen Gadol. And if you haven't, then please start the Gemara and Yevamos and go on to Kiddushin and so on. Okay.